Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding its 18th annual end-of-year public auction on Thursday, December 5th at our Greenwood location. Visit Mid-Delta's website at mdauction.com for more info or call Will at 662-299-2414.
Welcome in, everybody, and happy Halloween on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. Obviously, we are not live tonight because it is Halloween. My little guy's going to be Dash from The Incredibles. Actually, is already Dash from The Incredibles. If you think that I can get that super suit off of him all day, you've got another thing coming. So we've been Dash since yesterday, and we're going to be out bopping around the neighborhood, fighting crime and saving the day and all that good stuff. So not live with you tonight, but I still wanted to bring you some thoughts on, one, the injury report, and it's a really good one, I think, for Ole Miss. Absent, it's going to be weird to say, absent their best player possibly for this game, but otherwise a really good injury report for Ole Miss that came out last night. And then some thoughts on the game itself, you know, how Ole Miss needs to attack Arkansas's offense and so on and so forth. But before we get into that, I want to please invite you, score predictions. I've been a procrastinator. I know I've been a procrastinator. I have not yet reached out to last week's winner. I will. You will get your hat, I promise. But if you guys want a hat, if you want a free hat courtesy of our friends at College Corner, drop a score prediction in the comments on the video right now. Drop your score prediction, and the closest, or if you get it exactly right, we have had one of those so far this season, you will get a hat courtesy of our friends at College Corner. Check them out, collegecornerstore.com. Also, two locations here in the Jackson area, and also right up there on Sisk Avenue in Oxford. So if you want to look good on game day, that's it. College Corner on Sisk Avenue in Oxford. Two locations here in Jackson, collegecornerstore.com. They will get you geared up for your Ole Miss game day. Drop your score predictions. The winner will get a hat on me and our friends at College Corner. Also, subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And beyond your score predictions, I want to hear from you. So if you leave a comment or send me an email, by the way, you can also drop a score prediction in there in email form, borky@supertalk.fm. And so if you're a podcast listener, not a watcher, then you can still be a part of this, and that is how you do it. This edition of the Rebel Report and all editions of the Rebel Report are presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you've been personally injured, or you're a small business owner, or you may have a contract dispute, I know the person that you need to call that will help you. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, he's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but if you are in this state, he will take care of you. 662-397-9799 is the phone number, 662-397-9799. Do not delay. If you need this help, call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today and save that number. You may not need him today, but if you're a small business owner especially, that day's going to come where you might need legal advice. You don't want to be stuck not knowing where to go or just popping up on Google and just calling the first number that shows up, 662-397-9799. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. So the injury report came out last night, and like I said a second ago, I think this is a good one for Ole Miss. I'll read through it quickly and then we'll talk about it. Only two outs, Cedric Beavers and Logan Diggs, neither of which are a surprise. You know, they're not playing, they haven't played. I know there's been, I've certainly gotten some questions about when we will get the opportunity to see Logan Diggs. And quite frankly, my response has been a little bit cynical. Forgive my cynicism, but I mean, they don't even play Bentley, really. So if Bentley can't get snaps, then why do you think that Logan Diggs is going to get snaps? I don't understand what they're doing with the running back position. So, you know, maybe when he's healthy enough to play, he'll get a bunch of snaps, but Bentley's healthy enough to play and he can't get snaps. So anyway, questionable. There's four questionable for Ole Miss in this game. Matt Jones, Trey Harris, we'll get back to that in a second, is listed as questionable. Andy Jaffe and Nate Kaleppo on the offensive line listed as questionable in this game, which is not ideal, but still. Probable. You got a bunch of probable. Walter Nolan. That's a big deal. I mean, he was limping around and very clearly was, I don't know if annoyed is the right word or frustrated or mad or whatever with that injury. I mean, he's been battling it, a lower leg injury all season. He gets held on quite literally every single play. I'm halfway joking when I say this, but I do think, like Walter Nolan might be served well to like LeBron James flop. Like instead of watching game tape, watch LeBron, because I know you can call holding on every play, but Walter Nolan never draws a holding call. And if you watch him play, it's every single play. Every single play Walter Nolan is getting. I mean, his jersey after one snap is like ripped in half and his shoulder pads are coming out. And I mean, maybe sometimes just like throw your arms up in the air and flail around and scream and something. I mean, draw attention to it, because that dude gets held on every single play. It is unbelievable how few flags that he draws. I mean, it almost never happens, and it should. But anyway, there's been a lot of like, I don't know if even rumors are the right word, but there's been a lot of discourse about whether or not, you know, he's locked in or focused and stuff like that. And maybe there's something going on internally that I'm not privy to. But on the field, I've said many times that he's been worth every penny. He's physically dominant. He's got that edge about him. Like he always looks, you know, forgive the quote unquote bad language, but he always looks pissed off. And I love that from a defensive tackle. And him being probable for this game is big because he was limping around last Saturday and it didn't look pretty at the time. And the fact that they are, as of this moment, expecting him to play. I mean, we talked about it on Tuesday where I told you I was hearing some good things about his possible availability. This kind of confirms what I was hearing, that they expect him to play, and that's big for Ole Miss. Daquan Wright listed as probable, as is Caden Priestcorn. So both tight ends listed as probable for the game. I think they're going to need them both, especially if Trey Harris is out. Jaden Williams listed as probable. So there was a while ago, there was a thought that his injury might be season ending. There is some talk that he possibly could have come back for the game against Oklahoma. Listed as probable for this one, as is Micah Pettis and Jeremy James. So although their best player, Trey Harris, I think Trey Harris is the best player on the team. We could probably argue that on a later date. But although Trey Harris is listed as questionable, is this the healthiest that Ole Miss has been all season, maybe? I mean, especially on the offensive line. And I'm so curious to see if Jaden Williams can, in fact, go like they think he probably will. What is that going to look like? That is huge. This injury report is huge for the offensive line. Is it going to be, is it going to be him in Pounds at tackle and both Washington guys at guard and Jerquan Scott at center? I mean, they've been moving personnel around a little bit on the offensive line, as we've talked about. They did it last week and had a really good day in pass protection. And so are they going to keep that same unit and just put Williams back in at left tackle and rotate him in with Pounds? I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see. And then, of course, there's the question of whether or not Williams, you know, how football, how in football shape is he? I mean, he has been out. It has been a leg injury. So, you know, how much can he actually give you? There's a difference between suited up and able to play and suited up, able to play and able to be as effective as he was, or at least close to being as effective as he was pre-injury. But him returning is really big for Ole Miss. And what they did on the offensive line worked last week, at least in pass pro, and having him return, even if he's not like fully 100% and can't give you 80 snaps in the game, him being back is a big deal for Ole Miss for sure. And, you know, Pettis listed as probable. I think that, and as we talked about, he was running with the twos anyway in the bye week. So is that going to continue? Are they going to use him as a rotational piece? Did he lose that starting job? I don't think it's, I hate to say it like this, but I mean, it's what I'm supposed to do. I don't think it's any surprise that they had their best pass blocking day against Oklahoma in that front. So will they continue with that trend? Will he be used as more of a spy? Will they move Scott to center and use guys like McIntyre and the Jeremy James, if he's able to go, which they think he will? Will they be able to use them as rotational pieces? Because I think, man, I don't know for sure, but I think their best five is what I mentioned a second ago: Williams, Kaleppo, Bulow, Scott, Pounds. I think that's their best five, but we'll see what they think coming up here on Saturday. No linebackers listed at all. And if you were watching the Oklahoma game, which all of you did, they were all kind of hobbled at periods of time in that game. And the fact that they're not even listed at all on this injury report is a big deal as well. This is going to have to be a big game for the linebackers, but we'll get to that more in a second. But I was a little surprised, frankly, to see that they weren't listed at all. Paul's not listed, and you know he's going to play with it being Arkansas. And I mean, they've done the press conferences this week, and Kiffin had a lot of praise for him, and Dottery had a lot of praise for him. So he's going to play, of course, but the fact that he's not listed at all, and the fact that Dottery's not listed at all, despite both of them looking at times like they got a little banged up, is a good thing because they're going to be needed. Finally, Trey Harris, still listed as questionable. You know, going into last week, I mean, I think they reported on the broadcast that he tried to get ready to play and just couldn't. There's varying degrees of rumors about he's out for the season because he tore something, or he's ready to go and he's going to play on Saturday. I don't know what the truth is when it comes to Trey Harris. I do know that obviously the offense is better with him, but they have weapons that are not named Trey Harris. And you got to see some of that last week. And I'm not going to try to do the dumb sports radio guy thing where I say, you know, I ask the dumb question just to gauge reaction. And is the offense better without Trey Harris? No, of course it's not. But I did like their game plan a week ago without him. It's almost like they kind of had to force the issue to other guys. And the passing attack was much more balanced. And so maybe the absence of Trey Harris kind of forced them to, you know, incorporate tight ends and spread the ball around. And even if Harris can go, maybe that was like a light bulb moment for Jackson Dart in the offense to say, hey, look, you know, Harris is great. He's one of the best receivers in all of college football, and this team is better with him on the field. But I also have other guys that I can distribute the football to. And even if Harris can't go in this game, you still have seen that they have guys that can be productive, highly, highly productive, even without him. If both of the tight ends who are listed as probable can actually go, there's a couple of reliable targets. But Watkins and Lee and Wells, I mean, you have got options there at receiver. So is this going to be another game where they're forced to kind of spread the football around a little bit to alleviate the loss that is the dominating Trey Harris? We'll have to see. Obviously, you want him to go, but I do think that they have, and they showed it last Saturday, especially in the second half, of course, they've got weapons, and they can use them. And so even if Trey Harris can't go, it's not like he is the only person on that offense that can make it go. I guess that's what I'm really trying to get at. He's not the only guy that can make the offense go for Ole Miss. They've got other weapons. They haven't used them adequately, in my opinion. They did on Saturday, especially in the second half. Maybe that will continue, especially if they can get better pass protection like they did on Saturday with this reshuffled offensive line and the possible return of Jaden Williams. We'll continue on this after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you. If it's tech, if it's in the office, and your Mississippi business needs it, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. At my old bank, I needed three different apps to do whatever I wanted to do with my money. Three apps is what I needed to just manage my money. Not at Priority One Bank. It's a one-stop shop. Just an internet connection is all you need, and you can do whatever it is that you want to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. There is a big out for Arkansas, by the way. Their injury report much smaller than Ole Miss's, but Jaquindon Jackson officially listed as out for Arkansas. Sam Pittman said he expects him to be back for Texas, but that is obviously not who they're playing this weekend. Jaquindon Jackson is a very, very good back. Him being out for this game, it's big for Ole Miss. Rodney Hill, the running back listed as probable, he's going to go, but Jackson's I mean, between he and Green in the backfield, that is two guys that could really beat a lot of people with their legs. And, I mean, Green is still super athletic, and you know, they've got a stable of backs that are certainly capable, but no better than Jackson. And him being out for this game is big for Ole Miss as well. So how are they going to attack Arkansas, or how will they attack Arkansas, is the thing that I am most curious about this week, because Ole Miss has played two different running quarterbacks in conference play and two different guys. I mean, Sellers is big and more of a big physical runner, but he's athletic. And Arnold, although Oklahoma hasn't really used him in this way much, and Lane Kiffin talked about it on Monday, that they saw some things early against Oklahoma that Oklahoma hadn't really done much. But he's very athletic, a very capable runner. I think that Green is by far, frankly, the best of these three, and the most explosive and the most athletic of these three. And so what is Ole Miss going to do to try to attack this Arkansas offense? I think that ultimately what they need to try to do is force Green to beat them with his arm. I know that the Ole Miss secondary at times has had questions, although Amos is, frankly, ended up having a really good year. I would much rather, if I'm Pete Golding and Ole Miss, put a lot of guys in the box and really try to force the ball into Talon Green's hands than allow him to get running lanes and to beat you with his legs. So, look, if he has a day passing like he had last week, then you tip your cap and say, you know, good game. But that is something that I don't think that he will be consistently capable of doing against this Ole Miss defense, even though the Ole Miss secondary has had questions at times. They have been a little bit better lately, and I don't think that he can consistently stand in the pocket and distribute the football down the field and beat you. I know he did it last week, and you know there's talk that, well, he had his best game of the year last week, and it's like, well, everybody has the best game of the year against Mississippi State. That is not the best gauge of what this Arkansas team is actually capable of. Now, I certainly think that they're good, and certainly think that Ole Miss can go up there and lose, don't get me wrong, but I don't think basing their offensive capabilities on what you saw a week ago is the right thing to do either. So how are they going to do it? You know, it's got to be a big day for the defensive ends. Ivy and Princely and, you know, Perkins and the linebackers are really, I think, going to have big days in a couple of ways, because as good as Ole Miss's defensive line has been and their defensive front has been, they have missed sack opportunities, and they have, and they did it last week, that created some running lanes for athletic quarterbacks or a athletic quarterback by either losing contain or an over pursuit. So this has got to be a very sure tackling and gap responsible day for the Ole Miss defensive line, because if you have your opportunities and you miss them, and by doing that you open up some green grass, Green's going to kill you. I mean, he absolutely will. So this is a big, big day for Princely. It's a big day for Ivy also, but the entire defensive line, of course, but especially those two guys. When you get your opportunities at him, and they will get their opportunities at him, this defensive front for Ole Miss is very, very good. And so they're going to have their opportunities. You cannot miss those opportunities when they are presented to you. Princely had a couple of them in the Oklahoma game. Ole Miss had 10 sacks in the game, and they should have had 13 or 14. Just some missed opportunities there. Can't happen this week. I'm very curious to see if there's a spy and how they're going to approach that. Is it going to be a situation where, they rush three and have Perkins just kind of like on that delayed blitz situation, and how they're going to approach that? Because like in the LSU game, for example, Ole Miss brought three or only four sometimes, didn't get very aggressive, and Nussmeier and those receivers were really able to have a big day against Ole Miss and ultimately lost the game as a result. Arkansas does not and will not protect as well as LSU did, and I don't think that you have the receivers and the passing ability at quarterback to take advantage the way LSU did, but you have a much more athletic runner. So is it going to be a situation where they only bring three and have Perkins as a spy and drop everybody back to make sure that, you know, they're able to close space quickly and not let Green run? I don't know. I'm very curious. So that is that the biggest thing in this game is how Pete Golding and that defense plan on attacking Green and how they're going to go about it. Luckily for Ole Miss, they are not only healthy at linebacker, apparently, according to the injury report, but they are athletic and sure tacklers at linebacker in space as well. So although at times Oklahoma had some success with Arnold running the ball, I do think that Ole Miss athletically up front is capable of reducing the effectiveness of a running quarterback through four quarters of a game. Can Green get after them? Of course. I mean, a guy like him can have success against anybody, but I do like Ole Miss's front six, and I think that they will be able to generate pressure, and their linebackers are athletic enough to try to neutralize a guy like him. The question is just, can they do it, and can they be responsible and not miss tackles and not blow assignments and force Green to just kind of sit right there in the pocket and distribute the football? Because if they're able to do that, I think that they're going to win the game. It's really that simple to me. The weather looks better. Weather looks better. I know early in the week there was talk about forecast, and I mean, you guys know this. The 10-day forecast, if you're looking, you know, 7-10 days out, it changes frequently by the time you actually get there. Looks like, at least for now anyway, game day morning into early afternoon doesn't look like there's going to be much weather, if any at all. So, you know, Ole Miss should, if that holds up, be able to just operate their offense as usual. I am very curious to see if they have loosened up a little bit. We talked about that on Tuesday. If that win kind of relaxed them a little bit, we played that Kiffin audio on Tuesday's show as well, kind of shining a light onto what's possibly an issue with this Ole Miss team. And it's like, you know, feeling the pressure almost and kind of lacking and having a good time, which is what I think Kiffin was kind of getting at, just reminding his team to have fun doing this. Winning is fun and enjoy yourself. But there is a lot of pressure on this team in this game. They know the stakes here. They absolutely know that they cannot achieve any of their goals with the loss in this game. So they know it's do or die against Arkansas. And, you know, how will they handle that pressure? It'll be a great environment. Luckily, it's in the morning, or at least the kickoff is. And but I'm watching that closely, how they handle that pressure, because clean football wins. And you can say that for most teams, you know, breaking news, more 11, clean football wins. Well, you know, of course it does. But especially for Ole Miss, they should have, I know they didn't, but they should have been, frankly, they should be undefeated at this point, but they shot themselves in the foot. They made mistakes. One of the worst penalized teams in college football. You guys know all about this already. I talk about it probably too much, but they have shot themselves in the foot. They have blown opportunities. They have turnovers at inopportune times, drop passes, stuff like that. Situationally, they have been really poor. And if they're not in this game, they will win this game. But if they play like they did against Kentucky or LSU or the first half against Oklahoma, they're going up there and getting beat. They have a better football team than Arkansas. If they play just clean football, if they execute, if they relax, if they don't have third down stops negated by penalty, et cetera, if they just play clean football, they'll come back with a win, setting up a massive weekend, probably college game day and all that stuff in Arkansas, or in Arkansas, against Georgia a week later. So they have a ton of pressure. There's a lot of weight on their shoulders right now. But as we talked about on Tuesday, good play is in there. Good football is in there. If it's clean, it'll end in a win. We'll see if they can pull it off. We'll talk to you after the game on Saturday. Don't forget to drop your score predictions, and you can enter to win a free hat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you again on Saturday after the game. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.